What's up, Concord Nation? Thank you so much for tuning back in with us. We were on a little bit of a break over the last few months, but thanks for coming back and sticking with us on this deal. We have several episodes already lined up and in the can and ready to roll out over the summer. We're going to go back to some of the favorites that you guys have had over the past few months. We have quite a few new guests that will come on, and we'll cover all kinds of different topics, talk about all kinds of different races and, you know, training tactics and strategy and ways to get better and get faster and just some cool stories. So stick with us through the summer. It'll be a really awesome and fun ride. And I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, so that helps more people find it. So make sure you subscribe to wherever you are listening and wherever you're downloading your podcast at. And if you have any questions, you can always hit me up on Conquer_training on Instagram, Conquer Training on Facebook, or Ryan@ConquerTraining. You can just .com. You can just send me an email. I would love to get some feedback from everybody. Find out what questions you have. Find out things that we can do better and make this podcast better. Get the information that you're actually looking for and want to hear about. So if you have some people that you'd like to hear interviewed, hit me up with those as well. We'll do our best to get them on here and get their stories told. So today we are back with one of the favorites, with Brandon, for an Ask the Coaches episode. Brandon and myself get caught up on what we've been doing this spring and early summer. We kind of go over some of the races that we've been doing. Brandon covers some of the crazy things that he got into this year, from a gravel stage race. He won another national championship in mountain bike. I've been doing some on-road sprint triathlons this year, a couple of them just to kind of get my feet wet, give me something to do, and get back out there trying to stay fit with the big goal this summer is doing a Breck Epic stage race. I'm just doing the 3-day version, not the 6-day version. So some of my podcasts this summer will be covering some things there that I'm doing for training at altitude and for a mountain bike stage race. And I'm sure Brandon will have some input on that with his coaching ideas, because he actually coached someone to do it last year. So we, in this episode, we kind of get caught up on everything. We cover some training tips for heat and for summertime training, because we're right in the middle of it here in Oklahoma right now. We're in July, so it's always good to get a little tips and ideas for ways to train a little bit more efficiently and a little bit stronger over the summer. So thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to hearing from you, and this summer is going to be good. Thank you so much. All right, Brandon, we're live, we're recording, we're back at it after a long vacation.
How long has it been? At least a month.
Times.
But we're old, so it's probably been like 6 months.
It's probably been 6 months, which seems like, yeah, an old man age. It's like about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
We did this. So we're getting back at it. I'm going to get some stuff in the queue, get things lined up, and start releasing these like every 2 weeks. So we'll get a couple recorded soon over the summer. Summer goes on and we start doing more stuff, and then we'll just piece it out from there. So
cool.
I guess the first thing we should do is get everybody caught up, because I know we've talked some, but I don't know all the details of all this. I haven't even heard about mountain bike nationals like in detail, really. So get caught up on what you've been doing, what I've been doing from, I guess, late spring, mid spring up till now. And we are in the 1st of July. So get everybody caught up on that, and then we'll just do a couple tips and stuff to kind of wrap things up and go from there.
Sweet.
So I guess since the last time we talked, you did, I guess, mountain bike nationals will be the first part of the season that really, since coming out of winter, that you've done, right? Did you do anything in the winter?
No, I didn't really race a lot over the winter. Yeah, I kind of chilled through cross, yeah. And then we did a lot of early season road racing, and then some gravel racing and endurance mountain bike stuff. Just kind of mixing it up.
Oh, yeah. So I guess let's just start with do a quick recap on Land Run and then Mountain Bike Nationals, kind of go that direction.
Yeah.
So, because last time we talked, or that was our first time on the podcast, was whenever we did a recap of Land Run last year. So this year was a lot different feel, because there were some big boys here.
There was some more talent. There was a few issues with some of the guys getting clogged up with mud midway through the race.
Yeah, it was dry, but there was like a handful of, y'all had a couple of crossings and like a handful of puddles out. on the course.
Yeah. So the thing with like gravel is you want to run as big a tire as you can, is like the whole premise behind it. That's the science now. It's not about small tires, it's about big tires.
Right.
And if you
goes for the road and triathlon.
Same deal. Yeah, big tires, lower pressure. It's actually faster, believe it or not. So running a big tire causes the risk on certain bikes with less clearance. Mm. If you are on muddy stuff, it clogs up really bad, because the science with the mud is you want to run as small a tire as you can with the mud, primarily because of the clearance issues. A few of the big dogs that land around got clogged up. Breakaway got away. I had two teammates in it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in it.
In the breakaway?
They ended up not being in it after a while. One wrecked out, broke some parts, and one of them got dropped, which we don't blame him. Just is what it is, right?
Right.
I finished fourth at that. I felt pretty good. I was pretty happy with that result.
Top three was who?
It was Payson McElveen. Uh-huh. He's a two-time pro marathon national champion. Ted King got second, who doesn't really need an introduction.
No.
And then Drew Dillman, who's kind of a younger, mid-20s guy.
Okay. I
want to say he's east of us, like Tennessee maybe.
Okay.
And he's a pro CX guy. I want to say he got fourth at Nats last year.
In cross,
yeah. Okay. So I would expect another big season from him.
Yeah, there were some studs there this year.
And yeah.
Then had,
yeah. And then the normal, you know, like Michael Vandenham, he's a two-time Canadian professional cyclocross national champion. Matt Stevens, who... Yep. Doesn't really need an introduction. No. He's like a gravel god. We all look up to him. And Colin was there, and Gherkins was there.
Yeah,
and
was it Lieto was there? Was he there this year?
Lieto was there. Yeah.
And then he's the one that I know and love.
So Lieto's ended up becoming a pretty good buddy of mine.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, we keep up and
nice
and BS with each other on social media and stuff. So
that's nice.
He's a good guy.
So fourth there was a huge result.
Yeah.
Couldn't get much. It really couldn't have gone much better than that.
I could have won. It would have been better if I won.
No, that's true. And it was what was weird. So me and my brother do the 50. We enjoy life and talk and take pictures and eat cookies. And while you guys are out there suffering, we have just enough time to get done, grab some food at the food trucks. We grab a beer, and then we come out and sit and watch you fools come in looking all
like
hell. So it's perfect for us. We have a great day while you guys suffer. But it's always like, oh, the leader's coming in, and it's like one guy comes in, and then like 2 minutes later, another guy comes in or whatever. But this year, like two legit sprint finishes.
Yeah, so it was the top three guys who were off in a breakaway and only ended up beating us by a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and a kid named Thomas, who's on a U23 team, CCB, we had a sprint finish. Then within 20 seconds of that, Rob Bell, Matt Lieto, and I want to say Ryan Curry, he's my teammate, and Mark Curry, his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say those three sprinted for 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Yeah, within 10 minutes, it was like legit sprint finishes.
Oh, yeah, and then top 20 was all within,
and
10,
the girls finished
10 minutes.
Like really pretty tight compared
to
Yeah,
not far off
race.
Of us. I can't remember what female won, but they, you know, most of the girls that race gravel, like, there's not as many women that are as talented as some of the guys, but the women that are there are pretty talented.
They're legit.
And I'll get into that later at the Oregon Gravel Grinder how I got chicked 4 out of the 5 days.
Oof.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even want to admit that, bro.
Well, too late now. So now we got to talk about it. All right. So then fast forward from there, was it like maybe a month and some change later, was Mountain Bike Nationals?
Yeah. So Mountain Bike Nats was...
You're defending?
Early May. Yeah. I wasn't defending. I won the single speed marathon national championship in 18.
Okay.
And then for this year, I just... You know, part of me was like, I need to defend, and part of me was like, no, I'm just going to race what I want to race. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to race pro.
Right.
My intention was to race pro, but I got kind of sick in April. I was sick for like 3 weeks and lost a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
So I raced my age group, which ended up being a pretty solid battle between me, my good friend Chris Drummond, who everybody knows, and then Daniel Matheny, who was the defending 35-39 champ from last year, who ended up being a buddy of mine from last year because we rode together a bit.
Okay.
He's actually a USAC development coach in Colorado Springs. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Nice.
Real good guy.
So I followed it online, but it only gave splits like every so often. And plus it was at Paladuro and the reception was terrible.
Terrible.
So the splits
you probably didn't get the results for 4 days.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Like, who won, man? I don't know. Four days later.
It took forever. So we'd get a split and then it was like forever. But I saw the first lap, you and Drummond came through right there.
Yeah, so the first lap, Chris actually, so it actually was pretty funny. So half of this race was technical. Uh-huh. You've ridden Comanche, Comanche, Lower Comanche.
Right.
That stuff's really technical, single track, really hard to pass. And then the other half is through like the Lighthouse Trail and some of the other trails on the in the open part of the canyon. So they're a lot easier to pass.
Right.
So what happened was Chris actually got, I got the whole shot on the prologue. When we came through start finish 8 minutes later, he jumped around me, which in my opinion was a saving grace for me, and I'll tell you why. It's a tactical race maneuver. Not that I did it on purpose and not that he did it on purpose, but to give Chris 100% credit, he's really good at passing people, right? He's really good with, hey, we're passing, boom, and calling it out.
Right.
So the problem with that is you have to talk a lot of times. And this was the issue with Nationals was every age group had a 2 minute deficit on the age group prior.
Okay.
We started, I want to say 7th or 8th, right? So we started 16 minutes down. Well, in that first hour of single track, I'm not even kidding you, we probably passed 150 people.
Oh my God.
So just imagine bench cut trail, drops, lots of ups, lots of downs, really, really tight, passing 150 people.
And that's on the section going.
You're going south. You're going south from the very north end, and you're riding south, and that's Upper Comanche. We didn't do Lower Comanche on the first lap.
Yeah.
Then we dropped down and did the lower trail. It was muddy. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. And then you're off and the stuff out in the open, kind of. That's a lot easier to pass. It's really easy.
The first part, there is no, I mean, when they say it's single track, it's legit.
Oh, like, it's single track.
Legit single
track. So Chris was like super efficient, and the fact that I was with him on that made me efficient, right? So like, Chris is really good at that kind of riding, and I play my cards how I think I need to play my cards in the race, and that ended up working out very well for me. Daniel Matheny didn't come with us. He got gapped, so he was also having to do all the talking to pass the same people that Chris was doing the talking to pass, and I wasn't having to say anything. So I was salvaging a lot of energy by not utilizing having to speak, right? Yeah. I mean, like, it makes sense when you put it that way.
Yeah.
So the guy leading in a mountain bike race on technical single track isn't always the guy that's doing the...
He's just doing a lot more work.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's
so, tough. So yeah, we were together on that. We were together in the open. I kind of planned an attack on some other technical stuff close to the end of the first lap, and then put in like a 5 minute dig. So he was just having to chase as hard as I was having to chase. And I pulled away maybe 20-30 seconds, maybe. And Matheny was right behind him. It's actually a funny story. At the end of the race, Daniel was like, man, that's cool that we were all three together on the first lap. And me and Chris look at him and we're like, no, we weren't. And he's like, yeah, I caught you guys on the Lighthouse Trail. And I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. Well, Kai Cordes's mom sent me pictures that night. And sure as shit, that dude was with us. And neither one of us knew. He never said anything.
He just got on
your literally was like 10 foot behind us.
And just hung out.
Probably 2 miles from the end of the first lap. It was the craziest thing. I never knew.
That's weird.
Right? So anyways, I get away from Chris. I don't know how their battle transpired. I don't know when they passed each other. But yeah, that whole second lap, we had to do Upper Comanche like we did the first lap. And then we did Lower Comanche, which if you've ever been to Paladuro, is an extremely challenging trail.
That's the part that's got the big climbs, right?
It's like blow your brains out hard. Like it's super technical, super hard when it's hot. There's no wind up there. So it was like, I know how long it takes. It takes 50 minutes to get from top to bottom. So it was head down, drilling it as hard as I can, smooth, 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 focus on the gear I'm in, focus on breathing, focus on eating. When I get down and get off the road, then I'm gonna drill it.
Right.
So I did that. There's like this big long road section to connect you to this other trail, and I'm like a half a mile into that, look back, nobody behind me, cool. Just
You gotta just keep hold my effort steady. Yep. Right. Just don't do anything stupid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it still ended up being, I think I won by like a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
That's pretty close.
I think Daniel ended up passing Chris at the end, and then Chris was just like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Like, it wasn't very far at all.
That's pretty close for a race.
That to
that
me
long.
Is a pretty good race for a 4 hour race.
Yeah, yep. That's good. So, got you another jersey there?
Yeah. That's cool. I was super happy about it.
Then you went into crit season?
Sort of.
Local crit season.
I showed up.
Oh, you did your first UCI this year with Joe Martin.
That was in April. That was my first legitimate pro
big race.
Stage race. I actually felt pretty good there. I had a string of bad luck. I flatted the first day. We didn't have neutral support, or we had neutral support. We didn't have a car. You can have
a
car,
rolling, situation.
Like a real team car.
Right.
We didn't
and
have
y'all
that.
Did not.
No. So I had to wait for mechanical support. That happened 15 miles into a 115 mile day. So now you're just racing.
To
be
cut.
Able to race tomorrow,
right?
Because there's a time cut.
Yeah.
So that happened the first day. I had this crazy high TSS. Second day, I stayed in it. I think I finished around 20, low 20s or so. I was pretty happy with that result. And then the third day is the time trial. And I actually missed the time cut by 9 seconds.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah, I averaged for 12 and a half minutes. I averaged 421 watts up the climb.
Missed the time cut
by 9 seconds. Yeah,
you know what that says? You're fat.
That is not a lie. So the guy that won, Stephen Bassett, rides for First United, which is a top level amateur team. Him and his two teammates last week went 1-2-3 in the Elite Amateur Road Race National Championship.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Pro Road Race National Championship 2 days ago, I want to say he got second.
So he's not bad.
He's
pretty strong.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He probably won't be tooling around here for much longer.
He's definitely world tour quality.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's 25.
Good for him.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bet he's not fat.
No, he's not as fat as me. No, it's pretty cool, man. Being 35 years old and racing with those guys and I still feel I'm getting better every year, but new kids come up every year and see the guys older than them. So that's what they have to match.
Right.
And then some new guys come up and then that's what they have to match plus some
right.
and plus some. So
kind of cool to see it happen.
Dude, it's really cool. It's really cool just to be involved in that. With my coaching, hopefully I can get involved in that side to
with the elite side.
Yeah. To kind of help people get to that level, I think that would be a really big goal.
Well, it's nice
my
that you're getting some of that experience now, which you didn't get earlier in your racing career on that level. So you're getting a little bit of it now. So whenever that does come to fruition, you can actually relate instead of just not just the training side of it, but it's the whole experience side of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I had that conversation with a guy actually this week who, triathlon guy, he's new in the sport. He is coached by someone else and he was just asking me a question about some training stuff. And so I was just spitting it out to him. And I was just like, look, you got to find the coach that works for you that has the experiences that you want to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
Because, having a coach that is a pro may be cool for you and what you want. Having a coach that has always sucked and is fat, but he just knows the science better than anyone because he's an academic, maybe that's what you like. Or there's that guy in between that's been doing it for 10, 15 years. Has lots of experience to draw from himself, from other athletes that he's coached, and just kind of sees it, the whole thing. Maybe that's what's best for you. So I think having the more experiences you as a coach has or have in your, no matter what level it is, to be able to translate that over to an athlete is huge.
I agree with that 100%. I think that's what a lot of coaches miss out on that just are all science-based, all academic-based, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure those guys are considerably smarter than I am
Absolutely.
With coaching,
yeah, they're
right?
smart.
But there's something to be said about guys they like aren't. Us, yeah, that experience it and live it and can give firsthand information about it, you know? And when I started racing bikes, it was a lot of alcohol, not a lot of sleep, and then going out and killing myself on rides.
Right.
So I've been from that to where I'm at now where, a really dialed diet,
pay
attention to everything, right? Mm-hmm. And not to the point of it being weird, my lifestyle isn't weird,
it's
what I mean?
You pay
I just pay attention because I know what it takes to get where I'm at, and I don't want to lose that over something stupid like more alcohol because I don't drink anymore, you know, or like eating terrible food or not sleeping a lot, staying up late. Like, I know the benefits of going to bed at 9:30, sleeping for 8 to 9 hours, waking up on time, having a clear head, being able to start your morning right, starting your morning right.
Controlling the controllables,
right,
which is everything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we weren't planning on talking about that kind of stuff, but I think taking all the experiences of you've done BMX to the, and with every year you do cross, mountain bike, crits, road, like having that experience, makes you more well-rounded as a coach because you can maybe take something to a mountain bike guy that he didn't think of, but you got that from your crit racing or your cross racing. So that kind of stuff. And that's where, like, over the last couple of years, I've gotten out of the triathlon focus and done whatever sounds fun. And that's been good for me to learn and bring in different ideas to my triathlon coaching.
Well, so like when I kind of helped you with the coaching plan for cyclocross last year and you had a really good cross season, you know, like, that's being open-minded about stuff like that really helps you out to take that knowledge somewhere else. And like, you've helped me tremendously over the years with coaching and exercise and weight stuff and just things I need to be doing, a lot of core work, you know what I mean? Like, that's
it all.
I take all that to what I'm doing. And
Because your cross workouts, some of those I took and made them into some stuff for Saxby this year when he was doing Xterra races and mountain biking and running. I was like, some of those workouts I'd never seen or thought of before. I'm like, oh, you could spin that into working for an Xterra mountain bike part of the race. So yeah, I think the more experiences you have, the better it makes you, the more well-rounded it makes you and gives you more ideas for looking at something maybe a little bit different.
Sure.
So, all right, jumping back into your crit season, kind of getting to where we are today.
Yeah. So crit season, I didn't really race a lot of crits. I lost a lot of the fitness that I was going to build for crit season in April when I was like allergy sick. And I'm kind of relating that to my diet being kind of bad and eating more processed foods. Because as of the last 3 weeks, I've been back on my intermittent fasting and getting my mind back where I feel a lot better, all the time, like eating good food. So, I really only did crit season. Like, I did Pro-Am and then I did Tulsa Tough, just six races.
And just the local stuff.
Yeah, I was like, man, at least of one of these six races, I want to win. And I didn't even get anywhere close to that, right? So I just didn't have the fitness. Like, I wasn't near as strong in crit season as I was last year, right? But that's fine. It's a learning experience.
You ever try to run the shorter cranks?
I did.
How'd that go?
I mean, my shins hurt really bad.
Really?
I tried for 3 weeks.
Okay, so what we're talking about is, you normally run what length of crank?
I run like 172 and a half. A long time, I ran 175s.
Okay.
I have like chronically tight hip flexors, so I went to 172.5s, and then I was doing a lot of research about shorter cranks and how you don't lose power, but it helps with your hips. You don't rock as much on your seat, so I tried that out. I think I'm going to revisit that.
Okay.
In the winter, when I'm not
smashing,
when I'm doing a lot of base, when I'm doing a lot of zone 2, zone 3 riding, I think that's when I'm going to go revisit that, so my body gets adapted to that.
Instead of trying something new on race day kind of situation?
Yeah. It was tough. It made my shins hurt really bad. And then like my shins like hurt for like weeks after I put my normal cranks back on.
Almost like a shin splint?
Yeah, weird. It sucked, dude. Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
And my calves,
That's weird.
Yeah, dude.
How much did you adjust your seat height and stem or any of that stuff?
I didn't adjust my stem, but my seat height went up, you know. What was it, 3/4?
What you needed.
Half an inch or whatever.
Interesting. That's weird that it came on your shins.
Yeah, well, like, my seat height was proper because my quads didn't hurt and my hamstrings didn't hurt.
Right.
You know, your seat's too low, your quads hurt, your seat's too high, your hamstrings.
Did you research and find out anything about that? Because I've never heard of that. Coming out there.
No, I didn't do any of that.
Interesting.
I just put my other cranks back on.
And said, screw that. And they went away?
And drank some water or something.
Jack. My dog's over here licking on Brandon.
Man, dogs like to lick me, man.
Probably because you don't ever take a shower.
I know. I took a shower this morning.
Oh.
It was my once every 3 days. I guess it was my third day.
So proud of you. You knew you were going to be in public.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that brings us into today.
Yeah, so crit season was really terribly challenging for me. And then I had like a week off, did a bunch of work around the house. Maybe I had 2 weeks off. And then I went on a 10-day trip to Oregon for the mm-hmm. Oregon Trail Gravel
so,
Grinder.
Yeah, let's touch on that real quick and kind of. So it was a gravel stage race.
Yeah, so it was a 5-day gravel stage race. I legitimately did absolutely no research
had
on this
race.
Had
some climbing in it?
Yeah, I'm going to say it had some climbing. So I don't know if you know this, there's actually like a mountain range uh-huh. in Oregon.
I've heard of them.
I didn't
yeah,
know
I
that.
I heard they have mountains there.
I didn't know that uh-huh. until, like, I knew, like, Mount Hood was there, right?
Usually if there's a giant mountain there,
yeah, there's some other, little mountains.
He brings friends.
So anyways, there were some mountains. And there was, I mean, it was only like 30,000 feet of climbing over 5 days. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But this is where it was terribly challenging was I didn't have a low enough gear.
Oh.
So what happened on the first day, so I basically had my all road with 35 tires on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get to the start line on the first day and I'm like, man, these like really good mountain bike guys and some of the other guys, they're like running like 40 plus tires. Like some of them have mountain bike tires.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like, no shit. I'm like, well, oh, okay. So we get to the top of the first climb and I'm about 20 seconds off the lead group. I'm like, I'll catch them over the top because I just don't climb as well. I don't climb. Like, we don't have 10 mile climbs, right? So it's just
and
a different
fat.
Position. Like, and I'm fat. Uh-huh. I've lost 7 pounds since in the last 3 weeks.
Because you were shamed into it. From
yeah, it's because of my new diet. I'll tell you about it. It's the Matt Lieto diet.
Oh, so
So I get to the top and dude, it's like this 12 mile section. It's sand. It's like 6 inches of sand. It's like riding across a beach.
Shut
with like
up.
Some ups and downs. Dude, there was some shit I couldn't even ride up. Like little, short little like 20 foot vertical.
Uh-huh.
Just like that you would normally, like I couldn't ride them. And there's like people passing me, like chicks with wider tires are passing me that ended up obviously are really talented,
uh-huh.
right? Like,
but at the time you're just like, what?
I was like, dude, what is going on? I was getting kind of pissed. I'm like, this isn't a gravel race. And then I'm like, it is a gravel race, just a Northwest gravel race,
right.
right? It's like these really cool roads in retrospect. Like I sit that back and think about them and I'm like, man, all the roads from the gravel to the dirt, to the sand, to the wagon trails, to the this and that, they were all really cool, unique roads, and I 100% will probably go back.
And just, it would be.
But I will probably train for it next time.
Probably a better idea.
Because.
Or at least have an idea. With
I had a 1500 TSS in 5 days.
1500 TSS in five days.
So what that equates to, if you're listening to this, is basically 300 TSS a day. So if you were riding a standard endurance pace in Oklahoma at 50 an hour TSS, that would be 6 hours at 50 an hour, but every day was about an average of 4.5 hours. So I was riding about 65 to 70 an hour.
So riding real hard.
Riding pretty damn hard for 4 to 4.5 hours, 5 days in a row. Probably should train for that.
I mean, common sense tells you that.
The second day, you're going to love this. So the first day I actually raced.
Uh-huh.
I got
like I'm going after
10th or 11th or something. Okay. I don't remember, something like that.
How many people race and how many people are just trying not to die?
There's probably like 30 people racing.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's probably 300 people there.
Okay.
So I raced the first day, got my ass kicked. Second day, I raced for 39 minutes. And then I got dropped out of the lead group on a 20 mile. Nah, I don't know if that one might have been like a 15 mile climb.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5,000 vertical.
In 15 miles?
In 15 miles, something stupid like uh-huh. that. I set my 1 hour record power.
Oh, that was on that stage.
On the second day.
And got dropped.
And I got dropped and I quit racing at that point.
I think that was, we go back to that uphill time trial at Joe Martin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same yeah. problem.
Dude, I mean, if I had to go back and look at my cadence, it had to have been like 70 because I just didn't have the gear. I got dropped on like the first like kicker, like the first steep pitch. Uh-huh. And I was like, shit. I was like looking around like, and Andy was still in it. And I'm like, that mother effer, like he's still in it. Dude, 30 seconds later, Andy got dropped. And I was like, well, at least he got dropped too.
At least we can ride together.
Yeah, so, no, we didn't ride. I was so blown.
Oh, shut
up. I caught him. He's like, bro, how you doing? I was like, bro, I'm pissed, blah, 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 blah. I need a Snickers, you know.
How far into the day is this?
This is like 45 minutes, dude.
And the day is going to be like 4 or 5 hours?
Like 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, so I end up like, dude, just go. And then Rob Bell, whose whole intention was not to race.
To take pictures.
He's just hanging out, taking pictures of me suffering.
Uh-huh.
And then he's only posting the very bad pictures of me. He has like a whole slew of like really good pictures of me.
Uh-huh.
But he is intentionally choosing not to post those.
Well, the good pictures I saw on following Rob's social was always him smiling
and me dying
and the behind him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, so that was Rob's thing. So Rob didn't blow himself up for an hour. Mm-hmm. And Rob just comes trotting along. He's like, "Hey, be money, get on my wheel." I said, "Rob, why don't you just leave me alone, bro? I'm gonna ride by myself." So he's like, "Okay, bro, have a good day." You know, so in like nice. Typical Rob fashion. And, you know, it's one of those things you gotta apologize to him for after. I'm right. like, "I'm sorry for being a dick, bro. That wasn't right. cool." Uh-huh. So anyways, like, yeah, that happened. I get to the top, and then end up just riding in with a friend I made on the.
But people need to look this race up because you camp at night, right?
Yeah, so they shuttle your stuff, like from site to site. Uh-huh. And two of the days we actually beat the trucks there that were shuttling stuff because, you know, we're riding gravel roads like through the mountain.
Right.
And they're riding. Like, they're driving, like, around the mountains, mm-hmm. like, on these valley roads
it
and stuff.
It was beautiful. The pictures
were amazing. Oh, it was great. Like, amazing. It was phenomenal.
And
yeah.
I looked it up, and they had different versions of it. So, people want to do, like, a true destination race. This was a cool thing.
Oh, it was cool. It was, like one of the coolest setups I've ever had. And for their first year, it was, like, it pretty much went off without any issues except for the second night. The makeshift cafeteria pavilion area, mm-hmm. it may have caught on fire.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, it may have caught on fire. It was actually pretty epic. Oh, we were all chilling by the river at our campsite. We had uh-huh. like 20 people there, and we're like, "Oh, cool, somebody started a campfire." And we're like, get up and look, and we're like, "Holy shit, the pavilion's on fire."
No
so I was
way.
Like, I'm out, I'm sitting back down, what am I gonna yeah. do, you know? And like, hopefully they got it resolved. It didn't burn down.
Oh, that's good.
Dude, it was the strangest thing. Like, it was on fire. Like, you could see the flames. It was smoking.
Oh,
dude, it was
God.
Crazy.
Wouldn't that have been something?
And the doors were locked. So I think what happened was like, no air. Like, it just burned out all the air and it just suffocated itself. Dude, it was an electrical God. Fire. A space heater was left on. Boxes next to it. Because, you know, they had all the food catered. You
right.
got breakfast, you got dinner, right?
That's awesome.
So they had just these people making food every day, and they just traveled with us, and they made food, and it was great. It was a great menu, great spread. They had
That's
vegan
awesome.
Options, vegetarian options. They had all kinds of good stuff, right? It was really great. I mean, the everybody on the staff, the coffee guy, like, everybody did great. Like, it mm-hmm. was an awesome event for a first year. It was,
right.
It was phenomenal, you know?
I'll put the website and stuff in the show notes, because people need to check it out, because it was cool. And the
yeah.
campsites by the rivers at night, and everybody hanging out.
So stuff. So it's kind of expensive, mm-hmm. but it's not really, if you think about it. I want to say the price was like $1,200.
$1,200, I think.
You know, so like most gravel races, what, $50 to $100?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing five of them. So that's
right.
$500.
And then food.
And then they're literally taking all your stuff. They give you this big tote, and you just fill it up.
That's awesome.
And it's got a number on it. It's got your number on it. Mm-hmm. And then you just like pick it up off the truck, take it to a pitcher tent, or you can pay them $200 mm-hmm. and they supply a tent and
oh,
a chair and they literally pitch it every day for you.
That's worth
so
it.
So all you got to do is move your tub and has all your stuff like your ride food or whatever food you want. And you're staying like in these towns.
Okay.
So like,
you're not like super remote and sketch area, backwoods.
I mean, you're not staying. No, like you're in towns. Like
okay.
you're like literally like the last part of every day was like a paved road ride to where you were staying. You didn't
gotcha.
Just like stop on this gravel road and like, hey, here's a field. Like it was way more orchestrated than that, you know. So it was cool, man. It was really fun. The guys that put it on did a really good job. And
that Lieta put that on, right?
Yeah, so Lieta was one of the guys. I want to say the guy's name was Chad Sperry. And the promotion company is Breakaway Promotions.
And it's awesome because their stuff on their website, if anybody played the Oregon Trail game whenever you were a kid.
Yeah, it was all based on the Oregon Trail game.
The font was all the Oregon Trail font from the video game. And dying of dysentery and the whole thing, like they did a
yeah.
great job. So yeah, I think that's gonna
yeah
be,
it was pretty
it's gonna
funny.
Be a cool destination event for people over
I think so I think
years.
So I'd definitely like to go back, and if I do, I'll probably go back and try to race it if I'm feeling good, but I'll probably train a little bit more. Like maybe do like I think some training for that, like maybe 3 to 4 weeks out, do 2 weeks that are around 1200 to 1400 TSS, like that have like 3 or 4 big days back to back,
right?
And then do some crit weekends, mm-hmm. or maybe next year, maybe I do DK. DK is the weekend of pro am, so
right.
that would be 3 weeks out.
And DK is Dirty Kanza for people that don't know.
Right.
It's 200 miles gravel race in Emporia.
Yeah.
This year had some like legit world tour guys there that are going to be in the tour next week. And
And one of the guys, the guy that got second or third, he just won the pro road race at Road Nats. Yeah, really? Alex Howes. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Did he really?
Yeah.
I think he came. Yeah, I don't remember what he was.
And Lachlan Morton, his teammate, he just did this like 2,000 kilometer bike packing thing in like 4 days or something. And it was like
across all of Great Britain.
Yeah, I mean, it was like
ridiculous,
bro.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically didn't
sleep. And then he probably rode like 100 miles the next day just because.
Why not? Spin down.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was stupid. Well, so, and then my stuff has been short and sweet this year. I did a couple sprint on-road triathlons, which I haven't done in a handful of years. So training for that, again, has been interesting and fun, and I'm nursing major running issues, injuries.
Have you been running? Did you run through the winter?
I did. I started kind of secretly running in, like, November to see what would happen, and so it was basically like a year off of running.
Oh, wow.
And then I got back into it, tried to do everything smart, you know, short 3 mile runs, slow for weeks and weeks.
3 miles just sounds so far to me.
We've seen your, well, I'm sure we'll talk about your running experiences coming.
I'm going to start running next week.
Okay.
On Monday.
That's
good. Start running.
Smartly, or are you going to just go 15 minutes as hard as you can again? And not
I'm probably
able to walk for a week?
I'll probably go 12 minutes as hard as I can.
So next time we talk, we'll talk about Brandon's running injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I had a really bad injury, which I've never heard of or had before. It's called compartment syndrome in my calf. And basically, and it hit me in mid-run, like, one step, I was like, man, my calf kind of hurts. And like 10 steps later, I couldn't walk. And basically, it's your muscles have to expand as you use them. And it gets so tight, it can't expand. So basically, it like suffocates itself and squeezes on all the nerves and your arteries and veins and everything. And just
like, was it painful?
Oh, just like, it's like.
Like you got dead legged or something in the calf?
Kinda.
Like somebody just kicked the shit out of your calf?
It's not a cramp because you can't stretch it. And it's soft to the touch, kind of. But yeah, it's kind of like a dead leg that's just so brutal. And so you can't do anything. So,
wow.
Met with Kyle at Modus, and he did acupuncture and ART therapy and all the things. TENS units. Took like 3 weeks off, tried it again. Same thing, came back. Took another like 3 to 4 weeks off, 4 weeks off then, came back and it's fine. Now just my Achilles are so super tight. So I'm just doing a lot of soft tissue to keep it going. But I've been able to race, but my run's just not where I want it to be.
Cool.
So it's probably like 30 seconds a mile off, but it's just time. I think I can get it back. What's crazy is all the biking that I've been doing for the past 2 years with none of the running, my bike is so much farther along than it's ever been in my life. So I've been able to rely on that and then just survive the run, where normally I was like okay on the bike and then the run was my thing. So
right.
If I can get my run back, then I think it'll be pretty strong.
That's great.
So did sprints this year. I did 3 of them. Had a first and my first one back, won first overall. Second one, I got second. I got beat by a young whippersnapper. It's like 25. He pounded me. It wasn't even close. But I got second overall there. And then my third one, we had some timing issues. So the timing got messed up on the swim and the T1. So we don't really know how it shook out, but it was either first or second overall on that one to Lee Walter.
Oh, cool.
So basically I figured out at the end, I was like, man, I don't think there's any chance.
Man, Lee's like 60, bro.
Shut up.
No, Lee's like a freaking nature.
Lee's a world champion.
I've known Lee since I was 5 years old. I grew up with his son, Kyle.
I want Lee on the podcast. He doesn't know it yet.
He's a great man. He's a good guy.
He is one of the nicest men on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a long conversation that day. We've never really sat and talked for a long time. But we just sat and talked for like an hour. It's talked about training and stuff. But Lee's a world champion in Olympic distance. He may have been on the podium another time.
Was that for like 55, 59?
I think so, or 50, 54, one of those two, yeah. He's going back to Worlds this year.
That's fantastic.
I think he's won Nationals a handful of times.
Tons of respect for him.
Fastest
in different distances.
He's gone to Kona twice, I think. Yeah, he's legit. So I knew when we got done, the timing was messed up. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no way I beat Lee out of the water. Like, I know he beat me out of the water. I just don't know how much he beat me out of the water. Now my claim to fame is I beat him in one discipline at one time in my life. I beat him on the bike by seconds. So
That's actually pretty solid. If he was having a good day and you were having a good day, I'd say
I don't care if he was having a good day or if he was having a bad day. I had a great day and I beat Lee on the
run. That's all that matters.
And then he beat me on the run. But so I finished second to Lee there. So it's been a good year on that. But now my training's switched over to Breck Epic. I'm doing the 3-day version of that.
Oh, cool.
Which is in August. So yeah, now it's just putting in miles on the bike. So long days on the gravel on the weekends, or I'm just trying to put in 2 or 3 days in a row to try to build some fatigue on that and trying to get in the gym and build that. And then I think on the next episode, maybe we'll talk about some altitude hacks that I'm trying. So either they'll be a total waste of money and time and effort, or maybe they'll work out. So I'm trying some different things to take a flatlander to 12,000 feet.
Man, I feel like...
You trained someone for Breck Epic last year.
I did, yeah. She actually did pretty good. Mm-hmm. I feel like...
Yeah, she did great.
Training when it's 100 degrees in Oklahoma is similar to training at altitude because there's like no oxygen, right? And that may be like the dumbest thing I've ever said, but there has to be a correlation between the amount you suffer in the heat and the amount you suffer at altitude.
Well, there is science that goes along with that, because if you do sauna training for 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week following a workout, usually is better because you already had an elevated core temperature. So if you can go straight into a sauna for 20 or so, 30 minutes after that, it helps with your blood plasma, which is kind of helps with, like, it basically comes out to being a legal version of EPO doping, is the best way to think about it, for what you're getting out of it. So okay. It helps with your blood plasma, helps with red blood cells and all that kind of stuff by spending time in the sauna, best case scenario, right after a workout where your core temp's elevated.
Really?
So training in the heat does give you similar
benefits. Has to do something similar to that. I'm getting trying to get ready. I need to get a spot to the Steamboat Gravel Race. It's in August. Mm-hmm. It's the weekend after Masters Road Nats, which me and my teammate Brendan Hausler are going to go up to and try to smash.
When is that? Middle of August?
Yeah, I want to say Road Nats is the 8th through the 11th, which I'm just a Thursday through Sunday, and then the following weekend.
That's the weekend I'm in Breck.
So the 18th, that's that Sunday. That would be when Steamboat is.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to stay up there that whole time.
Yeah.
Just got to make sure it's cool with the family. Mm-hmm. If not, then I'll come back and I'll just do Gravel Worlds up in Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
Which is also that same second weekend. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So to wrap this episode up, let's give some people some takeaways on kind of an Ask Coaches episode. We talked about heat, or maybe, I don't know if there's some stuff that you've seen with some of your athletes that you've been working with this summer, or like in the spring part of their training, that has questions that have come up, or thoughts that you may have for some, you know, it could be either maintenance, bike maintenance, heat training, FTP training, because I saw you had a guy the other day that raised his FTP 20% over.
It was crazy.
Over training with you, which is cool.
Crazy.
So, I don't know, maybe give some tips and some thoughts on any of those topics.
Yeah, I mean, obviously consistency is key with anything. If it's cold, be consistent. If it's hot, be consistent. Like, if you need rest, be consistent with rest. Like I said earlier, sleeping is extremely important. You know, having a normal schedule is pretty important. I think lately, I'm just going to throw this in. I got, how do I put it? A buddy, Matt Lieto, told me about a diet.
I think you just like name dropping.
That they go on. Mm-hmm. It's the pickle and watermelon diet. You want to lose weight and stay hydrated? Every day you ride, you eat a whole dill pickle, okay? Uh-huh. It's about, but depending on the size, between 500 and 800 milligrams of sodium, right? So that's an extremely large amount of sodium to take. Mm-hmm. So you eat a whole dill pickle before you ride. And then when you get done riding, you eat as much watermelon as you can until you're full. And all you're going to do is stay hydrated and lose weight. I'm going to let you know in a couple weeks how it's working for me.
I feel like I got some jokes about you eating pickle, and then I feel like this is a diet that you would have read like in Cosmo or I saw on an E, like something like that, like all the latest celebs are doing.
No, it's great. I'm a celeb. I'm like local famous, bro. No, not really, but only in my own house.
Ish. You're the third most famous person in your
house. I know, right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're definitely not first.
Yeah, that's a fact. Uh-huh. That's a fact.
I see little man on your Instagram and her Instagram way more than I see.
Dude, he's getting like regrammed on like everything, dude. Like everybody does it. And I'm like, man, that's like the coolest thing ever.
So you're on a pickle and watermelon diet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no, dude, just think about it. You no, eat a whole dill pickle.
I hear what you're saying.
Do your normal ride supplementation. You get done and you don't go for the whey protein. You don't go for the creatine. You don't go for the sweet potato. You don't go for the sushi rice. You don't hit those clean carbs. You just hit that fruit, bro. You hit that fruit, and you stay hydrated. Think about this.
I mean,
I do a lot of grapes, too. Think about what a grape is, dude. It's basically like a little water, like a little balloon filled with water, right? Uh-huh. It's like
a watermelon's like a big balloon.
Filled with water?
Uh-huh.
It's like literally the most refreshing thing you could
It's literally
eat.
In the name.
It's a watermelon. It's a melon filled with water, right?
That's a win-win.
How can you not succeed at that?
Uh-huh.
So with that,
and you're malnutritioned in the hospital.
Okay, so do that. I'm not gonna be malnutrition.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I am. Who knows? Do that a few days a week, doing like intermittent fasting.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I can train pretty hard and on a sub 2 hour ride with
right.
intermittent fasting. Anything over that, you got to supplement. Some sodium, some carbs. You have to do something. You got to right. keep your muscle glycogen always stored up. But your muscle glycogen. It's like your fuel tank in your car. I mean, it can only reach a max capacity. So after that, you just stop eating carbs. It's
and everybody's
pointless.
Different and depends on how topped off you are coming into that. And I think that's a topic that we'll talk about to come in with this and give an experience. But yeah, you can only hold, each person's different. You're holding 1,500 to 2,000 calories in your glycogen storage. So depending on how topped off you are, how your body makeup is, if you're riding aggressively, smooth, you're going to burn 500 to 1,000 calories an hour, depending
yeah.
on how you're riding. So most people will bonk out around that 2 hour mark, unless you become a little bit more efficient, which takes time in your calorie and your.
And then it's 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah, sometimes. If you're riding hard, yeah.
So if you're riding 4 hours, don't ride 2 hours away from your house because you're about to be effed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I experienced that when I did more of the high fat diet. Handful of years ago when I was going for the
right
training long course triathlon.
Bro, you'll go out and you'll get like real far out there. Normally for me, it's like around Okarchi.
And it's like one pedal stroke.
Oh yeah.
And it's over.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you're like, man, that was a very bad idea.
Uh-huh. You feel real good until you feel real bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely.
And my first time it hit me, I looked down, it's like hour 43. I was like, man, that was close to 2 hours. And it hit me coming across McGinnis on that overpass, coming back to the house. And I mean, it was everything I could to go like 12 miles an hour from
and
there.
Not call the wife to come
yeah.
pick you up.
Like 3 miles.
That's how cratered you were.
Yeah.
Right.
And the next day, next time I did it, it was like an hour, 52 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like 2 hours. And the next time, cause I was riding just endurance pace, it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes. I looked down, I was like, man, I feel good. But that's about where you got to, but that was like slow endurance pace kind of situation.
Yeah,
so
yeah. The no intensity
there
with
was
that.
No intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you can kind of see how your body becomes more efficient, but you can't be like, plowing the carbs all the time, eating pizza and pasta all the time, mm-hmm. but wanting to be a fat-adapted athlete. It just mm-hmm. doesn't work
You can't
that
do that, and the reason why is because of the insulin release that happens when you
right.
eat such simple sugars.
Your body's going to do what it does.
Right. It's going to release insulin,
you gotta
and
it.
You're going to need more sugar, right? But if you don't eat a lot of the sugar, then you won't need that on the rides, mm-hmm. right? But you still have to eat carbs. Like, intermittent
yes.
fasting involves fasting from breakfast to lunch. So you're basically fasting from the end of dinner, 7-8 o'clock at night,
right.
until lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only eating two good meals
right.
with good clean carbs
right.
and lots of vegetables and lean meats.
And eat good.
It's very simple.
Eat
and
eat lots of it
and mm-hmm. eat good clean stuff, and you will not get fat doing that. You
right.
will be lean, and you will be quote unquote
efficient.
A well-oiled machine.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think my topic that comes to mind right now is hydration with it being so hot. So
pickles,
it
goes
in,
bro.
You gotta with your pickle story.
Dude, put the deep throat on the picky pick.
Just pick out a fatty, which you sent me. I thought I was going to get some picks today. I thought I was going to get dirty picks, and you sent me a picture of your pickle jar. Now I know why you have a whole jar of pickles. But
it's about to be an empty jar of pickles in like 2 weeks.
Ugh, that's a lot of pickle.
Dude, that sodium gets you on that podium, bro.
I like that. You need a shirt that says sodium will get you on the podium.
I didn't make that up.
Uh-huh.
I heard that one 15 years ago.
Trey, it's yours now.
It is what it is. Uh-huh. That was way before hashtags.
Well, now you can hashtag it, TM it, make a shirt on it. But so I went on a long ride on Saturday. We did 4 hours on gravel, and
I saw that.
Yeah, the roads out there are amazing.
Yeah.
And
did you go northwest?
No, we went. Started in Tuttle and went west and south.
Oh, so you went out by...
We went out by almost to Coger.
Oh, out by Coger. That's where Barrett lives. By Barrett's dad lives out there. Yeah,
Well, we went like Pocasset, Minco, that area.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
Awesome. Great riding.
Yeah.
But one of the guys with us, man, he bonked like... I've only seen a few people bonk in my life. And he's like, I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. You know, it's got to be that expired two-year-old expired gel I have from when I did my marathon 2 years ago. And I'm like, I don't think that's what did this. And we got to a point. He's like the strongest guy in the group.
It's muscle glycogen and sodium, dude. It's like and when it's fluids. Hot, that's all it is. You just got to take fluids in.
And he wasn't taking in near enough fluids.
Was he cramping bad or was he just like a ghost?
Oh, yeah.
He no go like power. Pale, puking, no powers, like basically like I need a ride home.
Death march.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, can't stand up, wobbling, stumbling around. So we get him into the gas station. We get Coke in him, calories, ice, all the things. He survives back to the car, but we'd ridden ahead to get the car and come back and get him because he wouldn't call it quits. He's so tough, he won't call it when he should call it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even the next day, he's all laid up on the couch, like sick, can't move, all this stuff. But it's just, he'd ridden 50 miles a day before, so he was behind the eight ball before he started on Saturday.
With not enough fluid replacement.
Yeah, he's just in a bad spot before he started, and then didn't do the plan while he's in the middle of it. So I think that's the key I see for people. I mean, this time of year when it's super hot, it's not about today's ride. Mm-hmm. It's about, or workout, it's tomorrow's.
Tomorrow's and the next day.
It's it.
Yeah.
And it starts when you get off. And you know, like Brandon Morris, like he's training for Ironman Canada in 5 weeks. Saturday he had 6 hour workout. So he rode five hours, 15 minutes and got off. He's supposed to do an hour run, 2 hours or 2 miles in his run. He's like, I'm done. Like I can't go anymore. Smart. Comes home. He had lost 8 pounds in that ride with drinking like 8 bottles. Right. But I'm like, yeah, that takes days. So Sunday we didn't do anything. Monday we didn't do anything. Today we did a bike session on his trainer.
Yeah.
Because it takes days to get that back in your body.
Yeah.
And to get everything back in balance and stuff. So I think this summer that's the key for heat. People gotta. It's not today. It's.
Yeah.
Days.
And like, seriously, like the pickle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eat pickles. Like eat
it's cheap,
anything that's pickled is really good for you. And that's actually on the paleo diet too. You know, anything that has vinegar in it like mm-hmm. that. Like it's really good for you and it's tons of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't even tell you how many times I've been X amount of miles from my house on a hot day, feeling pretty lethargic, like get the womp womps, heart mm-hmm. rate's high, sit in the coolness, eat a pickle,
mm-hmm.
drink some sugar. Like, granted, I don't condone drinking sodas, but if you're going to ride your bike,
do it.
Do a little bit on a ride. It's like, don't overdo it. It's not going to hurt you. But mm-hmm. the pickle, man, the sodium is the most important part. Like, it'll take you from death to cloud nine, like, instantly.
Right.
Like, it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And I think in looking at, it's the whole balance with the sodium. People have really bad issues with cramping. It's not just the sodium. It's a sodium, a potassium, and magnesium. It's all these things go into it. So you got to take care of everything.
Right.
So if I'm going to give a tip, same thing I gave to another guy the other day. I think I've told you about it, the Ancient Minerals Magnesium Lotion.
Yeah.
So
I use it every day.
I love it.
Yeah.
So get it on Amazon. Most people are low on magnesium anyways. Endurance athletes are almost always low in magnesium unless they're supplementing with it. It's a lotion. Don't get the oil. It will make you hate life, but get the lotion.
Why?
Oh, it will. If you've ever had so unreal dry skin, you put lotion on, or really bad sunburn and you put stuff on and it just itches and makes you feel like you want to rip your skin off.
That's what the oil does?
For about 10 minutes. And you can't, once it's in there, you can't stop.
So the Ancient Minerals, I do the lotion. The only it's like vanilla. Is that the one you get?
I think mine doesn't have it.
Oh, mine's vanilla. I smell really good when I do it. But it's fine when you don't take showers because you don't smell bad. Right. but I also supplement. Uh-huh. I take magnesium pills. I want to say they have like a few hundred milligrams a piece.
Right.
And I don't take them every day. I'd say I take them 4 to 5 days a week.
Okay.
But I take them with the lotion. The lotion really helps my legs.
Yep. I rode on my thighs after I got out of the shower.
Yeah. And you know, like when you shave your legs, they make your legs look really good in the summer when you're tan. You know, same with your arms. So I shave my arms too.
Nice.
Yeah, it makes me feel good. Uh-huh. And if you feel good, you're going to ride good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You get all lubed up and shiny. Grab a pickle.
Grab a pickle.
Put on your spandex.
Put on your spandex and try to...
Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, just go have a good time, bro.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect place to end this. All right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you.